Providence Cedar Sinai Tarzana Medical Center here in LA and some of its doctors claiming his 17-year-old son Julius did not receive proper care there last year. He claims the doctors negligently and wrongfully concluded his son was having a panic attack and did not pay attention to what was really unfolding. He was having chest pains and breathing issues. Julius died of a pulmonary embolism. The Bapinga family is suing for wrongful death due to medical negligence. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Mexican movie star Sylvia Pinal died. She came from Mexico's golden age of cinema in the 40s and 50s. She starred with the likes of Cantinflas and Pedro Infante. Her family says she was hospitalized this month with a urinary tract infection. Sylvia Pinal was 93. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Not actually helpful for me to have adults around me affirming that I was really the opposite sex. It actually confused me further. And so this can do harm to children. And in our view, that's why parents need to be involved.
The Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health reports nearly half of LGBTQ youth in the state seriously consider suicide. Nationwide, those rates drop significantly for transgender and non-binary youth who feel accepted at home, according to the Trevor Project. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for sunny skies and highs in the low 20s. Wind chills slightly below zero as west winds gust about 15 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy, low of 10. Mostly sunny, 23 on Sunday. Partly sunny Monday, 26.
Right now, it's 15.
Dom Selvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Dom will be back live for all the political talk you missed. No more looking at how the sausage gets made, except for the government. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Chwaba.
So, I want to clear something up. I said Conrad auditioned for Big Brother earlier and wore a one-piece. It was MILF Manor, and he wore a Speedo. Now, that is technically a one-piece, but...
You got it right. You got it right.
I just want to clarify.
Wait, I'm surprised you didn't get on.
Yeah, right. It was
wait,
not the...
So, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you can keep talking about Conrad. I have something after.
No, please. That was my segue.
I have a treat for you. We were talking about juggling.
Oh, nice.
And I can do a little juggling right now. And because it's radio, you'll have to narrate it. Okay. It's two dog toys and a iPod or AirPod.
Oh, my
case.
Gosh.
Ready?
This will be impressive. All right. Andrea Belke is juggling if you're watching on the stream. Wow. That's impressive.
Okay, I'm actually impressed that I could do that.
How did you... So those are like random items you just found in the room you're in right now? That's really impressive.
I'm actually at my boyfriend's place. So I was looking... At my place, I have juggling balls.
Okay.
But I just had to grab some dog toys. But I wanted to prove that, if it's on the resume, I want to make sure that you know it's legit.
I didn't doubt you, but it is nice to have verification. I will say, I used to do stand-up comedy, and when I was touring in the 90s... I was the middle act on the show, and there was a guy who closed his show. I think it was in Des Moines or something, and he did this thing where he like juggled sticks, and he's like really trying to get the crowd into it. He's like, "How about that, folks? Huh? Look at this. Huh? Look at that." And they're giving him nothing. And I'm like, "Oh, this is awful." It was hard to watch because that was his big closing bit. Well, after the show, the club owner comes over to him and says, "We had another guy last week that juggled sticks, but he lit them on fire."
Oh.
So oh, wow. What you just did was much more impressive, Andrea. Okay, so I want to ask you. All right, so you've hosted, you've acted, you were on Survivor, you've played yourself, you've hosted, you've acted. What was being on the Marvelous Miss Maisel like? That's a great credit to have.
Yeah, so okay, I will be honest with you, it was one line.
Okay.
The line was, "We're 34." Good. Pretty good. Yeah. So some of those credits, like I was on Blue Bloods, I was on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I was on an HBO show. The HBO show actually was like 10 lines, but
nice.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I mean, the acting industry, because you're an actor as well.
I've got some acting credits, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's tough. You know, you audition, you'll be for something. I'll go in for bubbly blonde 30s morning show host and I won't book it. You know, it's like me. I've gone in for like reality star on like the small, you know, like you're watching a show and there's a TV show on in the background.
Right.
And I still won't book blonde 30s reality star. It's crazy.
Grew up on a farm, can juggle. Yeah. Next.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, obviously there's a lot more people that are way more talented than me, but a lot of times it really is a numbers game. It's the producers, the directors, they just, it's off of like the vibe they want, or we liked her, but we want to go with a brunette. So I've auditioned for a lot of shows and I did book Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and it was, you know, for one line, it was a full day shoot.
It's still a credit on IMDb, and that's carries a lot of weight. I would imagine you don't have to tell people it's one line, right?
Yeah, no, I want to be honest with you because it was actually really funny. It kind of ties back into Survivor. Is Rachel Brosnahan, who is the star of that show,
yeah.
She is a massive Survivor fan, which I did not know.
Oh, nice.
And so I show up to set, even though I wasn't in a scene with her, she was in the next scene. So she was getting ready. And when she saw me, she kind of like lost her mind because she is a big fan of Survivor and of me, I guess, for whatever reason.
You're a fan favorite.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't know. I guess she really likes me on the show. So she thought that it was a treat for her. Like she was doing so well that like they booked me to surprise her. Then she realized, oh, Andrea actually is an actor and like auditioned for this and everything. But she came up to me and just like, I am the hugest fan. And can I please, when we have breaks, can I just pick your brain on Survivor? And so, you know, on set, you'll be sitting around for hours and hours. And she would just ask me every single Survivor question. And she was the nicest. She's so nice, so talented, so cool. And we just talked Survivor every time there was, you know, downtime. So that was pretty fun. And then I saw her on the circuit at the Emmys and everything when she was, you know, when Marvelous Mrs. Maisel was doing so well in the circuits. So that was a really cool moment.
Those are the stories I just love hearing, is the backstage stuff, you know, the downtime, like when funny things happen or you have an interesting back and forth with someone. That's the stuff I absolutely live for. My guest is Andrea Belke. She's spending a couple more minutes with us here, being very gracious with her time, because she, if you see her resume, folks, yeah, I could paper my walls with your resume, with all the gigs you did. I don't even know. That's crazy. But would you give up, Andrea, what, like, you said you studied theater in college. You got some good acting credits. You have some really good hosting credits. And then you've got Survivor, obviously. If you had to pick, which of those avenues would you take? Where do you want to end up?
I would say that the TV hosting is my favorite. I think with acting, I'm a decent actor. I like the bit parts, but I'm not, I think I just kind of learned that I don't think I'm the best actor there ever was. Like sometimes, you know, I would leave like an audition and go, oh, is that good? I have no idea. Like, I think so. Or you get a callback. You know, I've had enough validation to know like, okay, you're in the running for these things. You're getting callbacks, you're working. But I think with TV hosting, I always feel like myself, and it really is, you know, it's you. And when I discovered TV hosting, it felt like such a better fit. Mm. And I finally felt like, oh, I found something I'm actually really good at. And then it's, you know, just like a lot of things in the arts, it's subjective. If you don't like me on TV, then, you know, that's fine. Right. But I just feel like it's the one thing that I know I can go in there and nail it. And I have full confidence. Whereas acting, I'm always like, oh, I don't know. And then reality stuff. I mean, I don't want to be, I don't really want to be just known as a reality star. Nothing against reality shows, but, right. You know, Survivor had its time, and it led to so many cool things. But it doesn't have longevity unless you right. know, you're doing when some of these shows, if you're on like The Challenge or something, and you're, you know, you start at 20 years old and you're still on it at 40, like some people make a career out of it.
Yeah,
I like working. So I think that the TV hosting would be the one that I would choose.
All right. Couple more questions for you. We talk about movies and TV on the show a lot, and what we're watching. We do a lot of comedy on the show. But do you have a show you're watching right now that you can recommend? Something you're binging maybe, or cringe watching?
I'm the worst. It's honestly one of the most embarrassing things about me. It's like I'm really ashamed that I watch a lot of reality shows. I'm actually watching Big Brother.
Okay.
And I just finished Love Island. I'm not proud of it. Teen, I'm not proud of it.
Well, we all have guilty pleasures, right? I mean, that's not, there's worse things.
I watch the like murder docs. Like it's like I go on Netflix and there's like, oh, there was a murder. And then it's not something I'm proud of. But I find that my brain is wired a certain way where I can't sit down and watch something and pay full attention. Hmm. So a lot of times it's like, I just have it on while I'm doing dishes or cleaning, and I'll be watching some reality show where I don't really have to fully pay attention. Nice. So I'm not the best person to ask with that.
I do that too. Like
Are you disappointed?
No, because every answer I get somehow is beneficial, because we get, oh, I watch this and this. There's some people that watch everything. There's some people that have one show that I've never heard of that's cool. And then there's honestly, a lot of people don't say reality. So I'm kind of glad you said that. But and that would be a good show to have on, or that kind of genre, because I try to watch Shogun and everything is in subtitles. And I like to play video poker on my phone while I'm watching TV, and I can't
You can't do it. I do want to continue watching The Bear.
Yeah,
I really like the first season. I want to keep going. Same. I just keep putting it off because I think, okay, I have to be in the mindset. I'm so fidgety. Yeah. It's hard for me to even sit still. So I'm like moving and grooving, like trying to watch a show. So if I can have a show kind of on in the background while I'm doing other things or working, I think that's probably why you keep talking about my resume. It's probably like, honestly, at night, I just like sometimes keep working.
Well, you don't get a resume.
It's not good.
You don't get a resume. You don't get a resume that full by binge watching TV. That's not going to take
like
you
like at night, honestly, I'll like just like, I also do some photography, videography with my sister. And there's always something to edit. So, you know, at night, sometimes I'll put on something in the background and just like edit photos. And honestly, it's fun. It's fun for me. It's hard for me to really relax, but coming back to Milwaukee after New York, I find time to actually relax or play volleyball or do like, you know, I'm training for a half marathon. Like that's my way of like unwinding is maybe just like doing something outside, like athletic, I guess.
Wow. That's impressive. What about movies? Have you seen any of the summer blockbusters?
Name them. What have I
seen? That's a no, first of all.
No, it's a problem. And people actually point this out about me. And it's something I need to work on. Is they'll be like, how do you want to do acting? And you're not like up to date with like movies and TV. And I'm like, that's a really good point. Like, I should get into that.
Does that matter really? I mean, you're not going to just mimic someone you see in a movie. I mean, I'm not saying you can't get tips from acting, but.
You know where I get a lot of my acting experience is one side gig. Have you ever heard of standardized patients?
No.
So at a med school, they'll hire actors to portray people coming in with different ailments. And so I'm actually training. And so I've discovered this was a job because my sister's in PA school. She works with these standardized patients. A lot of them are actors. So I get hired to do like, you know, you have to get difficult news. Like you find out you have cancer or something, and it's helping the students get ready to do that in the real world. So it does feel meaningful because you're helping them. I have one coming up where I'm portraying a patient with schizophrenia. And so I'm like learning. So I just had a meeting for it today and it's in a couple of weeks, but I basically have to do that like 10 times in a row for different students. Man. And honestly, it's like the best acting exercise I've ever had. So there's no rules. They're like, okay, so at some point when they give you the medicine, you have to throw it across the room, but you pretty much are hearing voices. And, you know, I'm really fascinated with psychology. I also do a lot of work in like the mental health space with NAMI, which is a mental health organization.
Right.
So I'm like, I want to do it justice and really learn about like how somebody who's hearing auditory hallucinations would act. And then you're helping out these students. So I might not watch movies, but I'm you know, portraying patients with serious conditions.
I'm going to be the guy that goes in and has pink eye. And I'm going to act like my world is, or viral conjunctivitis is the actual term. Hey, this is so much fun, Andrea. It's been great getting to know you. Thank you for being on the show. If you're ever up in the Green Bay area, come in and juggle in the studio. You see all this space, you can watch color TV and you can juggle in the chair. It lends itself to all of your talents. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. Wisconsin's lucky to have you. Discover Wisconsin's Andrea Belke. Hopefully we can do it again. Have a great night. Thanks.
Have a good night.
All right. That's Andrea Belke. Check out Discover Wisconsin. She has a website too. And check out Conrad on MILF Manor coming up. You don't want to miss that either. This is Peach Wobbin Nightlight. More fun. We're going to do some comedy next.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is Pete. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving week and enjoying your families. We have a few days off doing the same, and we'll be back on December 2nd. In the meantime, we've put together some fun segments from previous shows. Hope you enjoy, and happy Thanksgiving. Our question tonight is very simple. The simplest question we've ever asked. Dogs or cats? Lay it on us, and I will read your response on the radio. How exciting is that? All right. Without further ado, let's get to our next guest. They've been waiting patiently, and they're two great guys. Very excited to have these guys on the show. They both work for National Lampoon in different capacities. Jeff Tully is a writer for the network, and Jamie Kaler is an actor and the voice of the network, and they join me now on Nightlight. Guys, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Dogs. That's my answer.
Without even provocation. I love it. Jeff, what about you?
Don't bury the lead.
Jeff, do you have a dog or cat preference?
Dogs all the way.
Oh, Connor.
Yeah, come on. I mean, crazy. It's weird. Only weird guy. I had a friend who had a cat. He was weird. You go to his apartment, there was a bunch of Siamese cats running around. You're like,
oh, dear.
Are you a Bond villain? What's happening? I don't get it.
How do we feel about, this is a California thing, I think, Pete, but how do we feel about dogs in grocery stores? It's kind of bugging me. It's becoming a big LA thing.
Post-pandemic. Are they service dogs?
No, I mean, if you ask someone, they are. But right.
By the way, let's cut to the chase. There's no such thing as a service dog. If I see one more person scam the system to bring their dog onto a plane to go, I don't feel comfortable unless the dog is sitting with me. You know, you're in a tube with 300 other people, brother. You know, what if I have a pet monkey or a rooster and that I need my rooster, Frank, to get me through the flight around? Here's what I used to be nervous before I had kids. And here's what I'll tell you. Instead of taking a service animal on a flight, take my two children for one flight. I guarantee every flight after that will be the greatest day of your life.
Oh, trying to put in a car seat in the airplane with everybody behind you. Oh, my God. It's a
stroller. Now when I fly without kids, I go to the airport 3 days early. I just hang. I just hang out. I sleep there. It's the greatest.
They're surface kids. Take them with you. When I had my son, I would put him in the baby Bjorn. We'd walk all around Valley Village where we lived. And people in LA are so funny because they love pets more than kids. And I remember one time I went into the store and this woman comes out and sees my son and gets this big smile on her face and then made eye contact with him. And then she immediately pulled back and got all weird. Like her initial response was, oh, what a cute kid. And then, oh, it's a kid. That's how I felt anyway. I don't know. So if it was a dog, it would be a different story.
So we let my dog right out front. My dog's 20 years old. I have a 20-year-old puggle. Nice. We let him right out the garage. I'm right in Studio City, right next to Valley Village. He walks down. But for maybe 15 seconds, I'm still in the garage getting his poop bag. And before I can walk out, 20 cars have almost screeched to a halt, smashed into a pole to stop to go, oh my gosh, there's a dog. What's happening with this dog? And yet then they'll go to the grocery store, step over a homeless person and not think twice about them.
So funny.
It's gosh.
We had, an owl maybe a couple months ago, an owl almost took my dog, tried to pick him up right in front of my house, right in Studio City.
How big is the dog?
I was walking the dog and all of a sudden it felt like a jogger ran by me and clipped my ear. It was an owl, full wingspan.
Oh, wow.
He lands on my dog. He stumbles over it. He stands up. My dog is 20. Can't see or hear. Didn't even phase him. He just walked right back up into the garage. The owl stood there next to me. And I was like, he obviously couldn't pick him up. He was like 50 pounds. And I said, dude, he's 20. Give me like 3 months. Let me know where you're going to be. And I'll Uber Eats him. I'll bring him right to your house and feed your family for months on him.
Owls.
Oh, yeah. I'm right on the edge of the hills, and the coyotes here have gotten so cocky. They're like, they're at it like 7 o'clock, and they're like, what? You looking at me?
Got a problem?
We had two having relations on my front lawn howling at 2 o'clock. And if you've never heard coyote sex, it's crazy town on my front lawn.
Conrad, Google coyote sex, will you quickly?
Yeah, you should Google that. Listen, hear what it sounds like.
I want to hear this. Now I'm curious. Owls are the jerks, though, of the bird family, I think. That's just common knowledge, but...
Well, they're cocky for sure. They are. He was huge. He was like maybe 3.5-4 feet tall. I was shocked at how big. I didn't know owls were that big. And very cool. Very cool animal.
Yeah. Very creepy, though, too. I could see your consternation. You guys, this is fun having you both here. And this all started because last or maybe 2 weeks ago, I repeated a Jeff Tully joke premise on the air, footnoted, of course. And I thought, oh, I got to get Jeff on the show. So I reached out, and I'm glad you you made it, Jeff, and great to meet you, Jamie. Although I think we met years ago at the Acme Theater, Jeff Lewis and Chip Chinnery. Yep. I used to hang out with them sometimes. Yeah. And you guys.
I just talked to Jeff yesterday. Chip Chinnery, we're really good friends. We still, Jeff and I have done a million shows together. As soon as he said you, I was like, I know Pete from the day. Yeah. The circle is small.
He wrote a really funny script that a friend of mine and I were trying to produce called Unbearable. And it was about a bear who used to be a human. And he remembers his wife and he's trying to approach his wife as a bear. And it's just the weirdest, funniest script. And we took it to a couple of places and they said, I don't get it. I'm like, all right, well, of course you don't. It's hilarious. But anyway.
It seems like it would fit well into the National Lampoon archive, right? Like that crazy Van Wilder bear that kind of takes, he's like, hey, goes off on it.
Let's talk about that. You guys both work for National Lampoon. Jeff, you said you talk about, do they license these films you were talking about, like Zoolander and Anchorman?
They have a deal with Paramount, so we have all the Paramount library.
Oh, nice.
They're fantastic. You know, I say from A to Z, Anchorman to Zoolander. So Beverly Hills Cop, just everything you can imagine. Paramount has just an insane comedy library. So that's not to mention a lot of the TV shows like Reno 911 and Drunk History and stuff like that from Viacom. So really cool channel, just more than just the National Lampoon. You know, I think people think of the movies, but the Animal House and stuff, but these are different movies. It's a much bigger library. It's kind of like the best of, great comedy movies. Jamie and I met when I was working at America's Funniest Home Videos and did a million shows together. And so when I got the National Lampoon job, it was a very short conversation with my boss who'd work with them there too. And it was like, Jamie's the perfect voice for National Lampoon. I mean, it's just like, it's a no brainer.
That's so
I still
great.
Have that 1980s game show host voice. I don't know if you've ever seen Robot Chicken, but I do the voice of the bloopers host. Coming up next, more crazy bloopers. It was always kind of in that vein.
All right, we're going to do a quick news break here. And I would love for you to do a promo for Nightlight before you leave with that million-dollar voice. All right, fantastic. Yeah. Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler.
Wait, million-dollar Jeff? Jeff, we got to talk about money. Did you hear what he just said?
$70. Yeah. I'm not fussy.
It's Green Bay. It's
like a $20 an hour voice.
All right, we're coming right back with Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler on Nightlight with Peach Wobble.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It's a post-Thanksgiving recall of cucumbers. Arizona-based SunFed recalling whole cucumbers. Possible salmonella contamination.
The cucumbers were sold from October 12th to November 26th and are being pulled off store shelves right now. They were sold from California to New York and many points in between. Salmonella can cause serious illness and even death in children, the elderly, and those with weakened immune systems.
ABC's Alex Stone. Thanksgiving Day homicide in Lauderdale Lakes, Florida. Investigators say Hurleon McLean was shot dead. His family says it happened during a dispute with a neighbor over loud music. Police say the shooter is claiming it was self-defense, but McLean's widow says he was unarmed. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau flew to Florida to have a post-Thanksgiving dinner with President-elect Trump at Mar-a-Lago. The sit-down coming after Trump threatened to impose sweeping tariffs on Canadian imports. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks host the Wizards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Washington Wizards tonight in Milwaukee. The Wizards trying to snap a 13-game losing streak. The Bucks held practice after a three-day break over Thanksgiving. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, they probably ate too much. And, you always, as a coach, we look at days off differently. Like, when I saw the schedule and said, oh, yeah, we get our 3 days off with Thanksgiving in the middle. You know, I looked at it. I don't know if I looked at it as a positive or not. Giannis had 6 days off. That's a huge stretch for him in the middle of a season or beginning of a season. So that should help his body as well.
College football, the Badgers losing their final game of the season 24-7 at home at Camp Randall Stadium to Minnesota, who reclaimed the Paul Bunyan axe. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell on just how flat his team looked.
If you can't be fired up for a rivalry game, if you can't be fired up for a game that's been played since 1890, then I mean, this probably isn't the right place for you.
That's Wisconsin's Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for sunny skies and highs in the low 20s. Wind chills slightly below zero as west winds gust about 15 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy, low of 10. Mostly sunny, 23 on Sunday. Partly sunny Monday, 26. Currently, 13 degrees.
Max Inc. Radio.
We're replaying the amazing live performance from an 11-year-old, plus new music from around the state. I'm Terry Barr.
Saturday and Sunday night starting at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Today we're looking at a principle called the Gingles test that federal courts use when determining whether a gerrymandered redistricting map is a violation of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. How that test is interpreted can determine whether minority voters can elect the candidate of their choice or their vote is diluted by an anti-voter state legislature. A group of black voters sued the North Carolina legislature in 1982, arguing their voting districts violated the Voting Rights Act by diluting their vote and keeping black North Carolinians from electing the candidate of their choice. Before it came to trial, Congress clarified the VRA to say intentional discrimination didn't need to be proved, just the effect of discrimination was enough to be a violation of Section 2. Thornburg versus Gingles created a three-part test for federal courts to use when considering whether a VRA violation had occurred. It stipulates the minority group is sufficiently large and geographically compact to constitute a majority in a single-member district. The minority group is politically cohesive, usually voting the same way, and the white majority votes sufficiently as a block, usually defeating the minority's preferred candidate. As shown in the recent overturning of Louisiana's new congressional map, the interpretation of geographically compact and politically cohesive still leaves wiggle room for discrimination. We have more on Gingles and the VRA at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. An all-new live show back in the studio. Join us for a look back at the holiday weekend and prepare you for the week ahead.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the 818 says, cats, they're the pets of the future because they are not as needy as dogs. That's the 818. And then Amanda says, she used to get looks when she walked her ferrets. That'll do it. Oh, it's like walking a bearded dragon. Both are more acceptable in public when you walk. Dogs are more acceptable in public when you walk them. Well, yeah. So
I had a girlfriend who had a chinchilla.
What is that?
And I don't know if you know this about chinchillas, but they are nocturnal animals. So it slept all day. And then it had a wheel in its cage. And just about the time you went to sleep, it started going, zing, 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 zing. And we'd have to get up and then go take a brick and put it on the wheel. So then, like, the chinchilla's like, what? I'm in a cage and I can't use the, like, it was, I go, why? And then I was like, oh, this is why they make coats out of these animals. It makes more sense now. It offers, it was very soft. Oh, to hold it, you'd be like, what if I didn't have to feed this thing? What if I just laid it around my neck? And you go, that actually makes a lot of sense now.
Is it like a ferret? Is it like the ferret family or the?
It is. It is very much like a ferret, okay, for sure. And in the same vein of, but yeah, the fur was just fantastic.
Sounds like you're having a moment there, Jamie.
I did. I mean, I had to go to the hospital once. It got stuck. No, that's
that's a different urban legend.
That's a whole different.
All right, so
chill out on this subject.
Chill out about it. There it is, the button. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, there's my first question for Jeff. My guests are Jeff Tully and Jamie Kaler. They work for the National Lampoon Network. Jeff is a writer for National Lampoon. Jamie is the voice of the network and an actor. Jeff, when I met you, you were working the door at the Funny Firm. You were just starting to put an act together. You did stand up. You moved to L.A. You have this great career. You're doing all these cool projects. And now you're executive producing. You're working at National Lampoon. Are you where you thought you'd end up?
Oh, that's a terrifying question.
I'd say it knowing you're doing okay. There's, you know.
It was weird when you guys were on, you know, I did stand up since I was 16, like you guys, you know. And it was for the listeners, there's a group of 20 deep of Chicago comics, you, Jimmy Pardo, Jimmy Dore, you know, Mike Siegel, Steve Seeger, and all these guys who were like, you know, had been in it a couple of years. When I got to out of college and back to Chicago, you guys had been doing it a while. And yeah, I had taken my break for college. And even when I was doing stand up, you know, like I was working, you know, Brian McCann from Conan O'Brien, we had a weekly show. And even when I was doing stand up, I always identified with Artie on Larry Sanders' show. I always wanted to be Artie, you know, the guy behind the scenes, running things, telling people what to do.
Yeah.
I much prefer writing, directing, you know, and I can fake it on stage, but I'll never be like a Jamie, you know, like an A-plus comedian. So I was like, well, you know, why be a B-minus, B-plus comedian when I could be the puppet master? You know, that's so much more fun for me.
It's so funny because there just some guys have that temperament. And I could tell, you know, like I knew you were a funny stand-up, but I also, when you say that, I'm not surprised because you have that kind of mellow, nothing riles you kind of, and that's how you have to be as a producer, right?
I think when you have extreme ADHD, you're drawn towards jobs that where you have to put out fires a mile a minute. You know, that's producing. Producing is basically just being a fireman and a plumber at the same time. Everything is going wrong. You're getting blamed for everything. And it's so much fun for me. It's like Tetris, you know?
Jamie, you've been on a lot of fun sitcoms in addition to your work at National Lampoon. You were on a show called My Boys, which had a nice run. And
it did. And it was very Chicago. It was a Chicago show. And I remember throwing the first pitch out at Wrigley, and we actually shot on Wrigley Field. I had to run the bases at Wrigley for an episode, and we drank all over town. I mean, we shot there, and then like by day three, the producer had to come to us and go, listen, you guys look like drunken corpses that floated ashore. We're shooting a television show. You've got to stop staying out till 5 a.m. But that sounds dangerous. Yeah, that was a big one. But I, you know, back in the day, I did Friends, I did Will and Grace, King of Queens, Parenthood. I've done a lot of sitcoms. The last few years, I was on Tacoma FD with all the Broken Lizard guys: Steve Lemmy, Kevin Heffernan, Paul Soder. So I've, you know, you asked him, "Are you exactly where you are, where you thought you'd be?" And no one ever is.
Yeah,
I think in Hollywood, the trick is to ride waves. You know, everyone said you like you get an amazing wave and then it has to end. Like sitcoms, like I remember when My Boys ended, all of a sudden you're testing for other stuff. It doesn't quite take off and then something else goes. But, you know, to hold a career down for as many years as Jeff has in this town, I think it's you ride these crazy waves where you're on this unbelievably successful show and it's gold and everyone knows you and they're reaching out. And then all of a sudden, you're looking for the next gig, and then it comes around. So the beauty of stand-up is that you can always, like, it's the only thing you can control. Because obviously right now the business is contracting a little bit and going off to do the streaming stuff with National Lampoon was a gift. I mean, that was all of a sudden we're on this crazy ride with that thing. And I just went and did a dry bar comedy. Jeff's back doing some comedy nights. And nice. I think it's just about projects, about catching on a project that's super fun. Like anywhere else where you just, you know, you change from job to job. I'm always excited to do the next job.
That's a great outlook. You know, and you said that perfectly. No one really ever is where they think, unless you're like, you know, Leo DiCaprio or someone. It just doesn't happen that way. But if you,
all he's thinking about is who's the next 25-year-old Israeli model. So even he's always looking for the next project.
I learned my lesson for him.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. When it comes to that, I learned my lesson. Really, I got really lucky in LA. Like within two and a half years, I I just kind of stepped into a show running job with basically no experience. It was for Fox Sports. It was called Fuel TV, the channel. It was extreme sports. And I only got the job because I had worked a little bit on Best Damn Sports Show writing and stuff. But the guy who ran Fuel TV was from that. But I only got the job because I knew a little bit about skateboarding and BMX and stuff like that. I mean, and the other comedians didn't. And that lasted, it was a daily show, and that lasted for 7 years. And when it was over, we had, I don't know, maybe 60 employees, and everybody, 7 years, it got canceled. You know, they moved on, you know, they changed their format at Fuel and stuff. And I was so, you know, I was so depressed. And I went to one, you know, one of my producer friends that I really respect, who'd been in the business a long time. And I'm like, man, I feel like I let everybody down. The show got canceled. He's like, Jeff, you ran a show for 7 years. That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
It's a great run.
That doesn't
run.
Happen. Yeah. 4 years, you're lucky, you know? I mean, so, yeah. So that's the lesson, is like, you, what Jamie said is, you have to know that everything ends and everything begins in this business. I mean, I call it house cat syndrome. You can't get comfortable. You know,
You're the same. I mean, you're an established filmmaker, dude. Everyone, just to let everyone know how hard it is to get any film made. It's shocking to see. And you hear the stories. I heard you talking about The Godfather. That thing almost went away.
How about
a million
that?
Times? Mm-hmm. It's great. Then they had to work a deal with the money. Every film that ever gets made is like kismet. And so, you know, as a filmmaker yourself, you must have those moments where you're like, it's crazy working. And then, you know, you'll always for the next. But that's what I love about this job.
Right.
I'm always amazed when somebody stays, you know, at a factory for like 50 years, and kudos to them to have that stability and to be able to do that and get the gold watch at the end. But for me, even doing stand up, Jeff and I talk about going on the road and doing the same jokes like week in, week out, 50 weeks a year. I've always been very lucky that I could do voiceover, I could do acting, I could do some stand up and podcast. And I mean, it's kind of probably hurt me too, because sometimes if you're not in the same lane the whole time,
yes.
People don't know you and you kind of fade away. But then people go, wait, you were in this and this. And then you're like, yeah. I mean, I like the challenge of changing up and doing stuff, because honestly, I get bored. I mean, ADHD probably as well, where I'm just like, I can't tell the same joke over and over and over again. I have to like throw it out and move on to the next.
That's a really great. And if I have an issue with, if there is something I could do over, I would pick a lane, because I've, you know, did stand up, I did some acting, writing, and now I'm doing this. And it's like, I get bored too. And I'm like, I need a new challenge, you know? And if millions of dollars aren't rolling in, I'm going to try to find something fun. And it's not rolling in, by the way. But so yeah. And it's interesting, because when I moved to LA, I booked a show, Gaffigan, your My Boys co-star.
He was on My Boys. Yeah.
We got cast in this VH1 show as the two leads. We shot the pilot in New York. It gets picked up. Within a week, I get a phone call from Gaffigan, a message. I call him back. I go, what, did we get canceled already? And he goes, yeah, we did.
Yes. No. Yes.
The pilot didn't even air. And I went into a depression for like 3 months, and everyone's like, dude, that's common that you're not, you know. And so when things happen, something happens easy like that, I want to tell people that's not real. You know, you're going to have setbacks, and it's really the journey, I think, in my own experience as a fellow ADHDer.
Yeah. I mean, very few people are Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
Comes to town, auditions for two shows, books them both, chooses the 70s show, and you're like, he's off and running. Been in town like 6 days. That doesn't happen that often.
It doesn't ever happen.
So anytime you have any success, because I also know, I mean, a ton of people from my friends at Acme Comedy Theater who are off doing other stuff now, because to hold a career together in any creative art form, whether you're painting or making music, but that's the lifeblood of it, right? To sit and to write a joke or make a movie and show it to people. And there's that nervousness of like, will people like what I made? I mean, that's the challenge. And so it's more of a quality of life thing than it is trying to monetize. You know, you want to monetize, but you know.
Yeah.
You know.
My son is going
to love
that
the creativity
right now.
Of it.
He'll have a good set and he'll go, oh my God, he's on top of the world. And then a week later, he's like, Dad, I don't get it. I don't know what to tell you. You just got to keep doing it. That's the process, you know?
Yes.
Jeff, you and I probably have a lot of KP Anderson. I worked on Sports Soup for a while. Andrew Genzer.
Yeah. I just worked with KP at the Asheville Comedy Festival.
Oh, nice.
Last month. So yeah, got to see him.
So
but Genzer, yeah.
Where can people find the National? Is it an app on Roku they can download, or how do they see your program?
You know what they call it? They call it fast channels now. That's what they call it. So when you go on Pluto, Roku, Plex, Tubi, Freevee, I can just keep making up names if you want. Bing bong, ding dong.
Those are actually all real, except the last two.
No, they're real now. They just started trending. So they're all, they just got bought by Warner Brothers. So anyway, there's a million of them, Tubi, Freevee, all that stuff, Pluto, Samsung, Roku, your smart TV has them. And basically just look, you know, it's a funny thing how this is a great example of how everything works. We went away from cable, right? And now we're back. If you look at Pluto, Roku, all those fast services, it looks like old school cable. It's just a live channel guide. For me, it's much more comforting than Netflix to go through the channels. And like, I love that format. So, and there's no surprise, it's become extremely successful over the past couple of years. When I was at AFE, we were the first ever fast channel to make all original content. And now now 4 years later, everybody's getting into the game and trying to start a channel. And it's just basically a new version of cable, but now it's on your phone, you know?
Oh, that's great.
But you know, it's funny. That's why I'm pretty lucky that Jeff's dragging me along to do these kinds of things, because I'm still a dinosaur. Like, all I ever wanted to do was I wanted to be Sam Malone on Cheers, and I wanted to go do stand up during the hiatus, right? Like, that to me was the dream, because doing a sitcom, you get the script on Monday, you do a little play, you shoot it on Friday, have some drinks, back Monday. Like, that to me was the dream.
Yeah.
But what's happening is, what Jeff's on top of is this, it's content, really. And so people aren't even watching TV. My kids don't watch TV shows.
Right.
They're watching personalities, and those personalities need content. And so basically you're making a show, but you're not making a four camera sitcom. You're making a show about somebody or something that's very specific to that streaming service. And I mean, Jeff's really been at the cutting edge of it and has dragged me along for the last couple of years of these amazing projects that I get to be a part of.
Well, so it's a fun combination of old and new technology. I just found out today when I was leaving the office that the Eddie Murphy marathon on Sunday was like what a highest rated day, you know, it's Beverly Hills Cop, yeah. 1 and 2, 3, all this stuff. And it's so funny because it's new technology, but it's this comfort, you know. I'm sure there's a bunch of 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds and up who've right. never seen Beverly Hills Cop original. And they were like, oh, you know, so it's a nice blend of the two worlds, you know.
But look what we're doing right here. I do a show on StreamYard as well. We do the Parents Lounge on StreamYard.
Jamie, hold that thought. When we come back, we're going to do a real quick thing. Okay. We'll pick it up right there when we come back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wava, Jamie Kaler, and Jeff Tully hanging out with me on Nightlight.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Don't blame me. You know the guy shout. And get the hell out of town. Don't be a baby. Remember what you told me. Shut up and put your money.
We are back. My guests are the voice of National Lampoon right now, actor Jamie Kaler, and National Lampoon writer and executive producer of many other projects, and stand-up comedian Jeff Tully are joining me here tonight for just a few more minutes. Jamie, Conrad's favorite show is How I Met Your Mother, and my message to you is just the window is open.
The window is open, baby. One of my favorite things I've ever done. It was really fun to be on that show. I always forget about that one too. It's crazy that, I mean, we talk about it. It was like, I remember you book it, you go shoot it, and then the next week you're like, oh, that's right, I did. It's like a 5-day thing. It was so much fun.
Jeff, you did something with Will Smith. You did a video, The Jump.
Yeah, I didn't kill Will Smith. I was in, because of my extreme sports background from the Fuel and stuff in Fox Sports. I was in way too much faith in me, but it was YouTube live event. Will Smith for his 50th birthday jumped out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon.
Oh my gosh.
It's actually Grand Canyon adjacent because the rules you couldn't do in the actual Grand Canyon, but it was right next door. And yeah, he jumped out of a helicopter on a bungee cord and he lived. So I get credit for him.
Was he farting the whole time from the helicopter into the canyon? Did you read that story?
I did, with Tommy Lee Jones in the Men in Black car.
And as he's ripping one, he says, "I'm sorry" to Tommy Lee. That almost made me like him a little more after the Chris Rock thing, but I still can't get there.
You know, you can still see some of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like, to his credit. I mean, the guy wasn't an actor, he was a rapper, but in some of the early episodes, you can see his mouth saying the other lines of the other episode.
Oh, seriously? Right? Oh, that's so great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That sounds like a drinking game almost or something.
Yeah.
Jamie, you were in the middle of saying something when we went to break.
I don't know. It's probably garbage.
You're talking about your deadline.
I got two kids. Oh, I do the parents' lunch. So it's funny too, because my wife's out of town with one of my kids. She went back east for a family visit. And so I have my one daughter literally in the other room where I have to go like, go watch TV. And I have her iPad here because otherwise it'll drain the Wi-Fi. So I steal her iPad.
Oh, nice.
I'm a 60-year-old guy with a 9-year-old kid. I'm hanging on by
no
a thread.
No way are you 60.
God, my favorite.
Whoa.
60. I just turned 60 2 weeks ago, man.
Oh,
no, this is all. This is just AI. This is a puppet head.
Yeah, it's working, man.
I'm in the other room moving levers. It's not happening.
Talking about kids and technology, Jamie, tell Pete what you're telling me about the difference between your generation and your kids' generation when they go out to events and stuff like concerts. And they don't.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, as a 60-year-old, I always tell people, like, oh, having kids at my age is like getting a DUI just as you pull into the driveway. You're like, dude, I was almost home. I was so close, officer. This is my yard. And he's like, no, man, you're under arrest. And your punishment is you're going to be bankrupt and tired for the rest of your life. But
gosh, that's funny.
I didn't have, you know, I have to tell my daughter I grew up without a cell phone because, you know, when I was a kid, if you went to a concert and you lost your friends, you made new friends. That's how that show went. Sometimes those friends turned out to be cooler than your old friends, and they became your friends because you had social skills that can talk to people face-to-face and maintain eye contact. It was a weird time.
We got someone who's got your back here. Amanda Nimmer says, no regrets walking my ferrets on walks and chinchillas bathe in sand.
It's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe that's why they're so soft. They got a nice, like a sand, like a suede stone where they rub their fur or something. But yeah.
That's lovely. It's so weird because I tell my kids that too. Like, I try not to be that dad where I'm like, you know, I didn't have cell phone. That's all just when we were born. We have no control over it. So those idiot parents who say, when I was a kid, well, when I was a kid, if I was a kid now, I'd be doing the same thing the kids are now. This is not a superpower we all have. We were just born when we were born. And the minute I say, put your phones down, the second I move and I pick up my phone because I can't live without my phone either. Mm-hmm. So it's like one of those traps.
We signed a pledge for my 11-year-old and all the parents pledged we would not buy our kids phones until high school. And so I felt bad for her. She was like kind of angry and she wanted a cell phone. So on the way to and from school, I would let her play music on my cell phone in the car. And I don't know if you know how algorithms work, but now my phone thinks I love Taylor Swift.
And
so
you do.
I just get all this Taylor Swift merch ads and Travis Kelce updates. And then I have to sit there and go, oh, hi, it's me. I'm the problem. Yeah. Never shake it off.
I have a 13-year-old daughter. I know what you're referencing.
Jeff.
Dude, the problem is they're on an iPad. Like, she doesn't even have books. The iPad is the book.
Right.
Can you imagine if you were in high school and you were three clicks from gratuitous bad videos that young men should not be watching, and you were trying to do your homework and you're like, well, if I just touch this button and this button, I'm going to get I'm going to watch a party happening. And I would have never got through high school.
That's what we used to say. I used to plan sleepovers with friends around R-rated movies. Like, you plan it a month ahead of time. Animal House is on at the end of the month. And now it's like you just click a button. But
just the nude scene in Airplane.
Right.
You'd be, you know, where she just runs across the screen. You were like literally waiting for that. I remember you'd have the scrambled signal and you'd kind of catch. You're like, I think I saw a breast on Skinamax. Was that a breast on?
Hey, guys, this was so fun. We got to run. I cannot thank you enough for the time tonight. Great fun. I hope we can do this again soon. And thanks for the laughs. And be careful pulling into your driveway. I don't want to see any.
I appreciate it, brother. Super fun, Pete. Great to reconnect with you, man.
You too, JB.
Congrats on the show. It's super fun.
Jeff, thanks for setting this up, buddy. Well, let's talk soon.
My pleasure.
Okay, guys, have a great night. That's Jamie Kaler, the voice of the National Lampoon Network, and Jeff Tully, National Lampoon writer and executive producer. Two great guys hanging out at Nightlight. It was fun. Dogs won our poll, by the way, 10-6. Not a huge traffic tech night, but a pretty decisive win for the dogs.
It was, yes.
All right. This has been Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, and on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, good night, Wisconsin. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Dom Selvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Dom will be back live for all the political talk you missed. No more looking at how the sausage gets made, except for the government. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. More people are shopping online. Adobe Analytics projects that Americans will spend more than $40 billion online through Monday, but Black Friday remains one of the year's busiest shopping days. And more people going online is good news for shoppers like Margaret Swanson in Seattle.
With online shopping, the full crowds on Black Friday has totally died down. And I was never really into, like, I used to just really avoid it, but now I feel more open to it because it doesn't feel super overwhelming.
Winter weather warnings could complicate travel this weekend. Up to 5 feet of lake effect snow possible through Monday for areas of western New York. Erie, Pennsylvania has already gotten more than 2.5 feet. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau traveled to Florida. He had dinner with President-elect Trump after Trump announced plans to impose tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico. Biggest rivalry weekend of the year in college football, and a wild start as Georgia beat Georgia Tech in 8 overtimes. This is ABC News. The San Jose State women's volleyball team is heading to the conference championship game this weekend after securing a win by not playing over claims that it has a transgender player on the roster.
Boise State pulled out of the Mountain West women's volleyball tournament amid claims San Jose State has a transgender member on the women's team. Although the school nor the player have publicly talked about the player's gender, San Jose State now jumps all the way to the championships because of Boise State refusing to play them. San Jose State says in a statement that it supports its student athletes, and while disappointed that Boise State pulled out, its volleyball team is preparing for Saturday's championship match against either San Diego State or Colorado State. Alex Stone, EBC News.
World produces more than 400 million tons of new plastic each year and ongoing in South Korea. Meetings with the goal of reaching an agreement on a treaty that would address plastic pollution. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media